Well, good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday Rewind here at Believers Church. My name is Ben. You're stuck with me tonight, and we'll be recapping our scripture from 1 Samuel chapters 2 and 3 from Sunday. We'll get into it in a minute and play back some of the video, but let's just cover the high-level details of the story for a moment. You guys have discussion groups out there in the community surrounding Menominee coming up. Just want to remind you of the story and give you something tangible to talk about in your discussion groups. If you recall, the state of Israel as God's chosen people in the Old Testament was very poor at this point in time. It's coming out of the Dark Ages that we call the Book of Judges, and we know that they're not worshiping God, and they're not worshiping God accurately. Okay, so the priests that are serving in the tabernacle, these are the guys that God chose to be his representatives, to mediate between him and the people. They didn't know how to do the sacrifices on the altar. And even worse than that, they were being selfish and taking the sacrifices to use it for personal gain for themselves. So the worshipers would show up with an animal to be sacrificed to the Lord. And these priests, this is Eli the high priest, his sons, they just selfishly pick and choose the best animals. They take what the meat that they want for themselves. This is all supposed to be a communal shared process where God gets the fat, that's the best part of the animal. The priests get provided their dinner as well out of this. And the worshiper actually is meant to take home some of the meat from the animal that was sacrificed. It's all going wrong. The priests, that's Eli's sons, they're just being selfish. They're using their position in the temple, in the tabernacle, for their own personal gain. And they're also having these sexual relationships, these adulterous sexual relationships with the female servants in the tabernacle, therefore sinning against God and against their own wives. Eli, for his part in this, that's their father and the high priest, he knows all this is happening. The entire community knows this is happening. Everybody's kind of up in arms about it. And Eli waits and waits. He plays this passive bystander role. He's the one that's in charge. He has the authority and the responsibility to say something about it. By the time he actually musters the energy to say something, it's too late. His sons won't repent of their sin. The people are refusing to come back to the tabernacle. They're despising God's tabernacle. And the spiritual state is just very, very poor. Then along comes a young boy named Samuel. He's born to a mother named Hannah, who dedicates him to the Lord's service. She was barren, but then had a child. She's so thankful that she offers the son to God's service for his life, so she dedicates him. She supports him, too. So year by year, she visits Samuel in the tabernacle as he's serving Eli the high priest and serving the Lord God. And Samuel seems to be the only one in the story who's doing what's right. Okay, we don't know what this was by detail. Was a young boy, so it must have been simple tasks. We do know that he opens the doors in the morning, so he unlocks the doors so that worshipers could come. But we do know that he's serving Eli, and Eli's kind of his mentor and his leader. But we know that Samuel grows in the presence of the Lord. Now, he grows physically from young boy to young man. He also grows spiritually, and he grows in favor of the Lord. God is pleased with him. And he also grows in favor of all the people around him. They understand him to be a young man of integrity, of godliness, of holiness, and of obedience. So he's the only faithful one in this picture. Eli, the high priest, he sort of picks and chooses his battles. He picks and chooses his obedience. His sons basically disobey continuously. And then you get Samuel, the young man, and he's obeying consistently and faithfully. Okay, now God is going to take Eli out of the role of high priest. He's going to take his sons out altogether. That means God's going to judge them and kill them, and that's coming up a few chapters from now. But God uses this young man, Samuel, to deliver the news to Eli the high priest. And so the mentee becomes the mentor. The student becomes the teacher. And Samuel is going to go on to become the prophet of God. There's going to be a spiritual revival that's led because Samuel's actually willing to do the hard thing. And the first thing that he has to do is have a difficult conversation with Eli about God wanting to remove him out of the ministry. So that's the story for tonight. We'll watch some of the watch and listen to some of the clips from the Sunday service. I hope that leads you into a good discussion. If you're out there looking for a way to engage in the conversation, we've got meeting groups all around the Menominee area. Just go to our website, Believers Church, and you can find out some of the locations there. And you're more than welcome to join us in these discussions. This is where we can talk about the scripture. We can talk about how it applies to our lives. We can grow together in a small group community, and we can become accountable to each other for how we're living out our faith and our calling and our obedience to Jesus Christ. I hope you all have a good evening discussion, and let's go to the film next.
Again, this is not a call to morality. Okay, do the right thing. This is a call to ministry. Anybody that's going to serve God in any ministry capacity, you're going to find that obedience to the Lord pretty much just equates to you doing the right thing at the right time and with the right heart. Okay, serving God is all about following His lead, doing what He's asking of you. We just call this simply obedience most of the time. And yet in our story, we see some guys, they're called to professional ministry. They're ministering in the tabernacle. So this is before the temple comes along in the Old Testament. And we see that there's a varying degree of them doing the right thing or not. One of the most important things that I've learned, no matter what happens, do the right thing. Even if it's costly, even if it's difficult, even if it's scary, even if it's inconvenient, whatever comes along, if you're going to serve God, you need to do what He wants you to do in that moment. That's what we're calling do the right thing. We're not going to just throw this at the pastors and the leaders of the church and say they're the ones that are supposed to be ministering and doing the right thing all the time, because everybody's called to serve the Lord. Everybody, every Christian, we're called to serve God. So in our culture, we sort of elevated ministry as being the job of the professionals. And yet we know biblically, ministry is for everybody. It's the ministry of the saints. It's the ministry of the church body. Whatever we have from God, whatever we receive from God, use it to serve each other. Use it to serve one another. And if you're wondering whether you're serving God, if you're serving Him partially, in an incomplete manner, if you're only partially obeying Him, well, then your obedience is lacking. Your service is lacking. Okay, we're not just called to serve God for 2 hours a week in a volunteer role. We're not called to serve when it's convenient. This is serving God always, every time, no matter what. Okay, so let's look at these three servants, and we'll look at them by category. There's the tired servant. And this is Eli the high priest. He's still willing to sit back and do some blessing. So he's still in the mix, in the picture. He's not willing to do the hard stuff because his sons and his church have fallen apart, and he lets them go wild with this sin, with his unholiness. They're not honoring the Lord, and he just lets them do what they want. And so he's not willing to do the difficult things. And this is often what happens when we get tired in serving God. The stuff that's convenient, the stuff that we like, the stuff that's easy, we're willing to continue doing that. And then we pat ourselves on the back and think, man, I'm still serving. He's willing to do the easy stuff, and he's not willing to do the hard stuff. Because the hard stuff takes more effort. The hard stuff has a bigger negative consequence. And that I think he just didn't have the energy for it anymore. That's what happens in our service to God. If we get tired, if we get discouraged, if we get troubled, oftentimes we become lazy. Unwilling to do the right thing. Unwilling to do the hard thing. And this can happen when we're young, too. And get tired and discouraged. We start to pick and choose our obedience. Okay, and this guy, Eli, certainly an example of a tired, you could call it lazy, servant. Willing to do the easy stuff, but not the hard stuff. In his tiredness, in his old age, he's become passive. Let me just let the young people do it. However they're doing it, it's probably fine. However they're doing it, they've got the energy for it, I don't anymore. And so he just takes a step back. It's no longer convenient for him to be involved in the mix. People move faster than he wants them to move. It's all sorts of reasons, but he becomes passive.
That's Eli.
I had some momentum going. I don't have the energy anymore to keep it going. I'm just going to see how far I tumble. Okay, then we get the worldly servants. They were selfish. They were indulgent. This is Eli's sons. These are the worldly servants. We can adopt this mentality, believe it or not. Yeah, I'm serving God, sure. But it gives me a decent reputation with the rest of my members of my church. I'm serving God, yeah, Okay? And it gives me a position of authority over other people. I'm serving God, but it's mostly for the kickback of what I get from it. We can adopt this attitude. We're not immune from this. But what the issue is flesh and spirit. This is not, if I have the right attitude, I'm going to serve God well. If I learn the right things, I can serve God accurately. This is, are you spiritual? Are you seeking God? And even as a Christian, we can push God's spirit away in a way where we're not acting spiritually. We're not acting God. It might not be this horrible things. It might not be sexual immorality. Maybe we're not committing adultery. Maybe we're not threatening to beat people up. But the works of the flesh are evident. It's only a matter of time before it starts to get worse and worse and worse. I don't think these two guys, Eli's sons, I don't think they started out, you know, bullying people, stealing their lunch money, trying to take from everybody. I think they started out being trained in how to do their job, and they started to see opportunity where they could actually indulge themselves instead of serve the Lord. And so there was probably a drift. They get no credit for having grown up in church. They get no credit for having served in ministry in the church. Their actions were against God, not for Him. It doesn't matter whether we grow up in church or not. It doesn't matter whether we work for a church or not. Okay, God cares about what's going on in our hearts, and God cares about whether we're honoring Him with our lives. What we do and why we do it. That's what God cares about. And these guys were wrong on all accounts. Lastly, there's the faithful servant. That's Samuel. He's the only one doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing. Okay, he's serving Eli the priest. That's his role. And he's serving God in whatever capacity he was able to. We don't know the details of that, but we just know that he's growing with God. It says, verse 21, he's growing in the presence of the Lord. How do we grow in our faith? How do we grow in favor with God? Well, you obey Him. You do the things that He asks you to do. However little they are, however big they are, when you see opportunity to love and serve other people or love and serve Him, you do it. And you find that there's this snowball effect that starts to happen over time. Hey, God gives the opportunity. Life gives the opportunity. You just have to decide, am I going to be the kind of person that loves and serves God, that obeys Him, that's going to go for it when the opportunity comes before me? A lot of us do it the exact opposite. We think, okay, I want to serve God. Let me get my life lined up. Let me get the circumstances worked out. Let me make some decisions over here. Once that's good, then I'll know when and where I can serve God. What things I can say yes to so I don't overcommit. Kid Samuel did the exact opposite. He said, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do what He asked me to do, and that's going to help me know where and what my life is going to look like. That's going to be the thing that gives shape to my life. Most of us do this exactly backwards, and we don't grow from it because we're always in this holding pattern, waiting to get things worked out before we ever actually launch forward into serving God. Samuel does the opposite. He says, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to say yes to whatever He asks, and that started to give shape to his life, and he grew. Okay, he grew in favor and stature with God and men. It's really interesting. At the beginning of chapter 3, we find out that Samuel himself doesn't know God yet. He hasn't met Him yet. He's serving God at church. He's serving in the tabernacle. And it's kind of in that process of serving his spiritual leader, serving his high priest, and serving the Lord that he comes to know the Lord. He comes to encounter God as he's already serving. There's a lot of you children in the church right now, and all of your eyes and ears just perked up like my cats. When we say her name, the ears perk up. There's going to come a point in time where you have to decide whether you're going to follow God. You have to know whether it's you believing in God versus your parents believing in God. All of you are going to have to come to some time in your life where you hear God's voice and you respond to it for yourself. This isn't going to be something your parents can do for you. Maybe right now you're serving God through your parents. You're obeying them. You're following them. Every child has to come to some version, some understanding, some eye-opening moment like Samuel experienced here. It doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't come through your parents. Some of you might actually end up making it through high school, through middle school, all the way through, and you think maybe you've come to belief in Jesus, maybe you're following Jesus, and then you go out into the real world only to find out that it was your parents' faith Some of you sitting in this room right now are going to experience that exact thing. And I know this because I see it every year as 18-year-olds show up to the university here in town and we meet them. They thought they were Christian. They thought they knew who God is. They thought they knew how to follow Him. Every person, every child, every teen, you've got to come to some decision about whether you're going to follow Jesus or not. You have to meet God for yourself. But He jumps in immediately, full obedience, no holding back. And he's just a young guy. He doesn't know what life lies ahead for him. He doesn't know who he's supposed to marry. He doesn't know what job he's supposed to work. Should he stay working in the tabernacle forever? Will my mom keep bringing me new clothes, or at some point do I need to, you know, go get some? He doesn't know all these things of life. He just knows God's called him and he's going to jump in to do what he can where he's at. And that's a faithful servant, full obedience, okay, going for it. When God calls, you answer. But we see a lot of hesitation with people. It's like, I don't know if I have the time for it. I don't know. How do I know if God wants me to do this thing or that thing? I got to choose between a couple of different things. Okay, I get that. Maybe there's a lack of clarity. Okay, but I'm somebody who believes that when God asks you to do something, you know it. These hypothetical what ifs, maybe I should do this thing. I don't know. There's other people who are better at that than me. So maybe I'll look another direction. I think in your heart you know it. I think we make excuses. I think we make it more complicated than it needs to be because it's convenient for us to not have to decide. I think that's what a lot of us end up. And maybe Samuel's just too young to know any better. Maybe there's no guile in him because he's just too young. He hasn't grown up to learn how to do this. But unfortunately, a lot of us have. And so we make it more complicated than it needs to be. We slow ourselves down. I'm not saying you don't count the cost. I'm not saying you don't have a sense of, okay, I want to be sure. I'm not just going to jump at everything. Some people do that too. I mean, just launch at everything no matter what. No discernment, no actual consideration of, is this for me, God? Or is this just happening and I'm excited because I'm an excitable person? So Samuel jumps forward into ministry right away. Right?